This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, the show where we take the day's aviation headlines and tell you what they actually mean. Here's a story about a bet that didn't pay off. Nearly a decade ago, one of the biggest airlines in the world looked at the seatback screen, that little monitor bolted into the headrest in front of you, and decided it was dead weight. Literally, every screen adds pounds, every pound burns fuel, and the thinking went like this. Everybody already carries a phone. Everybody carries a tablet. Why haul thousands of screens across the country when the passenger brought their own? That was the strategy. Streaming to your personal device. Let the customer supply the hardware. This week, American Airlines announced it is reversing that call. The seatback screen is coming back. And before we get into why, a quick word from the people helping keep this show on the air. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's get into the reversal. According to reporting from AeroTime, American is bringing seatback entertainment screens back across a large part of its fleet, matching a move its major rivals never really abandoned. The headline is simple. American ripped the screens out or chose never to install them on certain jets, and now it's putting them back in. But the headline doesn't tell the whole story. The interesting part is why the original bet failed. Here's what you need to know. The bring-your-own-device idea looks great on a spreadsheet. You save the installation cost. You save the maintenance cost. Because those embedded systems are genuinely a headache to keep running. And you save weight, which every airline operations department obsesses over because weight is fuel, and fuel is the single biggest variable cost in the building. So, on paper, letting the passenger carry the screen is free money. But flying isn't a spreadsheet. It's an experience. And the customer, it turns out, does not want to prop a phone against a tray table for a four-hour flight. They don't want to burn their own battery. They don't want to fumble with a mount, or hold the thing in their hand over Kansas, or discover that the movie they wanted requires an app they never downloaded before boarding. The rivals figured this out and stayed the course. Delta and United kept the screens, and when travelers compared the cabins, the airline that stripped the hardware out started looking like the cheaper option. Not cheaper in price, cheaper in feel. And in a business where the premium cabins print the profit, feeling cheap is expensive. So this is a competitive move, plain and simple. American is spending money to stop losing the comparison. Now you're a pilot. You're probably wondering why any of this matters to you at the pointy end of the airplane, or in your own airplane on a Saturday morning. Let me connect it. This affects you if you think about weight and mission. And every pilot should. Watch what's happening here, because it's the same trade-off you make in your own cockpit, just scaled up to a fleet. The airline stripped weight to save fuel. That's textbook. Reduce the empty weight, improve the efficiency, extend the range, or cut the cost. Every one of us has done a version of it. You leave the second headset behind. You don't top the tanks when you don't need the fuel. Because fuel you don't need is just weight you have to lift, and weight you have to lift is runway you have to use and climb performance you give away. But American just demonstrated the other side of that equation. Sometimes the weight is worth carrying. Sometimes the thing that looks like dead weight is actually doing a job, and you only find out what that job was after you throw it overboard. The screen wasn't dead weight, it was the product. And there's a maintenance lesson buried in this too. Part of the original argument against seatback screens was reliability. Those systems break. Wiring, software, the physical hardware taking abuse from 180 passengers a day. The airline that removed them wasn't crazy to worry about the upkeep. But they solved a maintenance problem by creating a customer problem. And the customer problem turned out to cost more. We do this in general aviation constantly. You defer a piece of avionics because keeping it airworthy is a hassle. The autopilot's acting up, so you just stop using it. The second radio is intermittent, so you fly single comm and tell yourself it's fine. And usually it is fine. Right up until the day you're single pilot in the soup, and you would have paid anything for the tool you decided wasn't worth maintaining. The point isn't that redundancy is always right. The point is that you have to be honest about what a system is actually doing before you decide it's optional. Here's the piece I want you to sit with. The bring-your-own-device strategy assumed the passenger's own equipment was good enough to replace the airline's. And in raw capability, it was. Your phone has a better screen than that seatback monitor. Sharper, brighter, faster on specifications alone, the personal device wins every time. But it lost anyway, because good enough hardware in an awkward setup loses to worse hardware that's simply there, ready, mounted at the right angle, no setup required. Think about that the next time somebody tells you the tablet on your yoke mount fully replaces the panel. The tablet is a spectacular piece of equipment. Moving map, weather, terrain, the whole world in your lap for a couple hundred bucks. I fly with one. You probably do too. But it runs on a battery that can die. It overheats on a summer ramp and dims itself just when you need it. It slides off the mount in turbulence. It reboots at the worst possible moment. The certified box in the panel is often less capable on paper, and it's still there, wired to ship power, built to stay lit when everything else in the cabin is having a bad day. Better on specifications is not the same as better when it counts. American Airlines just spent real money relearning that lesson in front of the whole industry. Take the free education. Now, I'll flag this next part as opinion so you know where the reporting ends and where I'm talking. I think the deeper story here is about how easy it is to optimize the wrong number. The airline optimized weight and maintenance cost because those numbers are easy to see. They show up on a report. Somebody gets a bonus for cutting them, the number that got worse, how the cabin feels, how the brand compares, whether the frequent flyer quietly books the other carrier next time. That number is real, but it's slow and it's hard to put on a slide. We do the same thing in our own flying. We optimize the numbers that are easy to measure. Hobbs time, fuel burn, the cost of the annual, and we quietly let the hard-to-measure things slide. Currency that's technically legal but not really sharp. Proficiency that looks fine in the logbook and feels shaky at the controls. The screen you can see always wins the argument against the risk you can't. American looked at the easy number and made a rational-looking decision that turned out to be wrong. Worth remembering the next time you're the one holding the calculator for the passengers. The practical takeaway is short. If you fly American, the seatback screen is coming back, so you may not need to plan your entire flight around a phone mount and a full battery anymore. Check your specific aircraft, because a fleet-wide change takes years to actually reach every tail, and the airplane you board tomorrow may still be the old configuration, but the direction is set. The industry has decided the screen stays. That reporting comes from AeroTime, and I'd point you to their coverage for the fleet details as they roll out. You can find us at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Fly the airplane that's actually there, not the one on the spec sheet, and I'll see you on the next one.